Well, let's take our Bibles and look in Lamentations chapter 3, our scripture reading, commentary, Lamentations 3. I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 23, probably the verses that most of us remember most would be verses 22 and 23. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now, if you were to read these verses in the Hebrew Bible, every first three verses, so every three verses, the first word begins with the first letter of the alphabet, or begins with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then proceeds. So, for example, the first three verses that I'm going to read here, verses 1 through 3, all start with the Aleph, which is the Hebrew A. And then the next three verses all begin with Beth, or Beit, depending on how you want to say it, then Gimel, Dalet, A, Vav, Zion, etc. There are 22 Hebrew letters, so you can see how this was designed. If you take 22 times 3, you end up with exactly the number of verses that we're going to look at, 66. Interesting that the Lord directed Jeremiah to write these verses in that poetic format. But you can see in verses 1 through 9, he's describing himself as a man afflicted of the Lord. And as we've seen, Jeremiah is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And when we read these particular verses, we see how Jeremiah would have foreshadowed Christ in his suffering and affliction for his people. He says, first of all, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. You see how that would picture our Lord Jesus Christ, who was sent to bear the wrath of his Father. So all the sufferings of the people of Judah, that's really who Jeremiah was raised up to prophesy to, the people of Judah, here is described as him, in essence, bearing all their affliction. Judah was the tribe through which Christ should come. So I can't see how anybody could read this here and not see parallels between what Jeremiah is expressing in Christ. It says in verse 2, he hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into light. That would be, again, a picture of the darkness of the hour in which the Lord Jesus Christ was to go to the cross. In fact, Christ called it the hour of darkness, when they came to arrest him there in the garden. And you can see in verse 3, he says, surely against me is he turned. And the scriptures say that Christ, the Father, spared not his Son, but delivered him up. Spared not would be what is depicted here as turning against him. Not that the Father in any way ever hated the Son, nor would it be said here that he hated Jeremiah. But what Jeremiah was bearing in the affliction, because he went through the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple, was the very hand of God's wrath that he was brought to endure along with the people. And so through this affliction, he felt as if God were his adversary and not his friend. It's a mystery. We understand what Christ endured for the sake of his people. I believe we have pictured here some of that description. He says in verse 4, my flesh and my skin hath he made old, he hath broken my bones. We know that there were no bones of Christ that were ever broken. But here was a manner of speaking. I don't believe Jeremiah means here either that his physical bones were actually broken. He came through the destruction of Jerusalem physically, all right. But here it's speaking more spiritually, what he would have had to endure and how such affliction would have aged him. It says in verse 5, he hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. That's what they gave our Lord to drink. Bitter herb, a bitter gall, and the travail of his soul. All of this would have been depicted here. He has set me in the dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Our Lord never sought to be removed from underneath the heavy hand of his Father and what he endured for the sin of his people. But here it's being described as if he were besieged on every side. We know Jerusalem literally was besieged. But here he's speaking as one that endured, went through that hedging in with the people and because of the people. And certainly we know our Lord would not have died on the cross had it not been that God had charged him with the sin of his people. Hedged me about. Lines drawn. That's what a hedge is. And the boundary set. You know that they could do nothing to our Lord but what the Father determined. And we know even in Jeremiah's case, there wasn't anything done but what God himself had already purposed. He describes it there in verse 7 as a heavy chain. It's just like you take a convict and they have to drag that chain along with a ball on his foot. That's how the prophet here is describing this grief because of the affliction that the Lord brought upon the people. I know that there could be no heavier chain than that which the Lord Jesus Christ bore for the debt of his people. He says in verse 8, also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. But we know this was how Jeremiah was perceiving it, that God would not hear any prayer for deliverance. But we know our Lord Jesus Christ, when he cried to his Father, it wasn't to be delivered from the cross. His cries were to be delivered through the cross, that the Father would indeed see the work that he endured. When others looked upon it, it appeared to them that God wasn't listening. They mocked him around the cross. They said he's crying for Elijah. They didn't understand the Aramaic that the Lord was using when he said, Eli, 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 lama sabachthani. They said, well, he's calling on Eli. No, he was calling to his Father. And he was quoting Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you left me in this state? Well, even Psalm 22 says why? Because thou art holy. So it wasn't that the Father was not hearing him, because the Son never asked anything but what the Father would give. And he knew he would not ever ask to be delivered from that cross. He hath enclosed my ways, verse 9, with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. Consider who it is that laid down his lot. The crooked paths, there wasn't any crookedness in Christ, but it was because of the people that he represented. Their crookedness he took upon himself, and therefore his ways were enclosed with hewn stone. Different ways of speaking about how his bounds were set by God himself. That's always been for us to remember, too. Whenever the Lord brings us through affliction, our bounds are being set by God himself, hedging in our way. But in it, we know his will is done. And then we see in verses 10 through 18 more expression here. If we want to understand what it is to be under the wrath of God, Wrath means justice. God never hated Jeremiah, and God never hated his son. But the word wrath, or being the adversary during that time, is a way of a manner of speaking that justice had to be satisfied. The law stood against Christ as the substitute, and therefore he had to endure, down to every jot and tittle, exactly what the law required. And here we find Jeremiah expressing what it was to have God as that adversary. In verse 10, he was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. I'm not much of a hunter, but here's one reason why I don't like to hunt. It's because, especially if you're hunting wild animals, you never know where they're going to be and how they're going to spring up. And here Jeremiah is describing all the ways that he felt God's opposition and his attacks. Like a bear, again, this is poetical, but it's expressive. Like a bear and a lion waiting for surprise attack. In verse 11, he turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. When our Lord Jesus Christ hung on that cross, he was the sword of God's justice was unsheathed and struck him on behalf of his people. Here he describes it as an archer who bent his bow and was directed at the target. God purposes something, he doesn't miss. And so Jeremiah is even acknowledging here that all of this is according to God's purpose. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. Any of us that the Lord has brought to himself, I believe we can understand that expression. I use it often, of God's arrow striking my heart and self-dying, but all that to bring forth life unto Christ. Here, Jeremiah, verse 14, says, I was a derision to all my people in their song all the day. That certainly is expressive also of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mockery that he endured. That's what the word derision means. And the taunting. It says he was their song all the day. They mocked him, even on the cross. You know, their heads bobbing and tongues wagging and saying, aha, aha. He saved others, let him save himself. All of this, Jeremiah foreshadowed as a type of Christ. Verse 15, he hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. God was like a judge to him. This was the sentence that was meted out like a cup of judgment. Christ drank the cup of God's wrath on behalf of his people, described here as wormwood. Typically, wormwood was what they gave condemned people to drink to kind of soften their pain, but Christ partook of no actual wormwood to reduce his suffering. Just the opposite. Everything that he endured, you know, it says he was made drunken with wormwood, with the bitterness of the sin of the people that he came to save. And then it says there in verse 16, he hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. These are all expressive of the suffering that he would have endured. And verse 17, thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forget prosperity. Let's remember that Christ's suffering, his soul, he made his soul an offering for sin. And it was necessary that as the sin bearer, he should be as one removed from any hope, any prosperity that he had known. My soul far off from peace. The ultimate purpose of Christ's suffering was that peace might be established, but he had to go through this in order that peace be established. And so he says in verse 18, I said, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. Jeremiah again, expressing here the agony of his own heart and what it meant for God to be the adversary, where all strength was gone and hope had perished as far as the people were concerned. But here is then his prayer. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. I believe that Jeremiah was brought to a point of bowing to, accepting what affliction the Lord had purposed that he endure, even through the destruction of Jerusalem and the affliction of the people. And he speaks here kindly of that. Looking back, my soul still remembers and humbles me. It's a picture of Christ, although he thought not robbery to be equal with God, but humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. All of this, as he looked upon it, he acknowledged that his Father was just and right in what he endured. Why? Because he came to satisfy God's law and justice. And that's how any sinners are justified. Talk about salvation. When did it occur? At the cross. And yet through that, we see here his hope, even as it was Christ's hope. Christ's hope was always that the Father would be satisfied and he'd be raised again from the grave, even as it was foretold. That's what he says here. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. Even what our Lord endured, wherein was his hope? That God was faithful and would be faithful, that upon completion of his work, he would raise him again from the grave. And that's why he says, it is of the Lord's mercies that were not consumed. The purpose of those that crucified him was to utterly be rid of him, never more have to deal with him. But because of the Lord's mercies, he was not consumed. He was the burnt offering. He was consumed by God's wrath. And it's interesting when you consider the picture of Christ being the sacrifice, but also being the altar. When the fire consumed, what did it consume? It consumed the sacrifice. That represents God in the flesh. That's what was consumed. But the altar wasn't consumed. The altar representing his divinity. As a man, he was made to be that sacrifice, but as God, that altar was not destroyed. So it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I tell you, we take so lightly when we talk about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he endured. I believe what Jeremiah is writing here, again, foreshadows what Christ would have endured. And even what he endured could not be compared. His is a shadow. Christ is the substance, but because of his compassions, it says his compassions fail not. Verse 23, they're new every morning. There was a new morning dawned when Christ was raised from the grave. That's the dawning of the day after the darkness. The dark hour is when he suffered there on the cross and endured the suffering and shame, but what faithfulness, whereby, because of his faithfulness, his compassions are new every morning. Every morning ends the night, no matter how dark the night. Every morning brings a new day. Every morning brings new provision for the day. And every morning brings that peace and that understanding that our sins have been forgiven. Great is thy faithfulness. When Jeremiah considered all of this, and when we consider how it is that Christ endured his affliction on behalf of such sinners as we are, that's what we bow and say, great is God's faithfulness to redeem and justify, sanctify, glorify sinners such as we are. Gracious Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that we have it to continue to ponder and read, written so long ago by your prophet Jeremiah, yet preserved for us today, that through it we might have a shadow, a picture of what your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, endured. So I pray that as we continue our time of worship, that our very souls would be filled with the thought of who he is and what he accomplished, and how he bore that affliction on behalf of such sinners as we are. We give you the praise and glory and honor in his precious name.